You can tune into our pro-life perspective update. It is heard each weekday morning at this time, about 9 minutes past the hour, as we gather together for another edition of In Person. I'm Dina Marie. You're listening to Catholic Radio, KBVM Portland. We welcome our internet listeners out there, whether you're in the United States or maybe listening outside some other part of the world. We're glad to have you with us at kbvm.fm. You can always listen to our broadcast online, as well as locally in the Portland, Salem, Vancouver area on FM 88.3. Today, as we really walk through this week of focusing on the life issues, and many folks participated in our Rally for Life on Sunday in downtown Portland, Pioneer Courthouse Square. Some of you are traveling to Washington, D.C., or maybe into the San Francisco area, or Salem, or into Eugene, or other areas for Marches for Life. This is a time where we really need to continue to bring out the message for life. We have a very special panel to share with you today, a men's panel who all have been involved in abortion. They have come out of abortion with hope and healing, specifically through a program called Rachel's Vineyard Retreats. And so we are going to have four different men share with you their testimony, their story, and really the history and the mission of Rachel's Vineyard Retreats in this particular program. Those of you who hear about abortion, we may think this is a women's issue, and we get heard in the media, we get told this is a women's choice. But however, men and women both are impacted, their hearts and souls, by the decision of abortion. And so we're going to talk about that choice. And is it really a choice? And what we can do to share a message of hope, of healing, and of love. With us out by phone today is Kevin Burke. He is a licensed social worker, also the co-founder with his wife, Teresa, of the program called Rachel's Vineyard Ministries. He serves as a pastoral associate of Priests for Life, which we hear much about here on KBVM with Father Frank Pavone. And he serves as a lay member of the Missionaries of the Gospel of Life, who work in cooperation for Priests for Life. One of the books he has co-authored is called Redeeming a Father Heart. Men share powerful stories of abortion loss and recovery, and he and his wife Teresa have been working together in marriage and family counseling for many, many years. They have five wonderful children, and Kevin's going to join us by phone today to tell us a little bit about Rachel's Vineyard Retreats and its mission. Three men that I have here in studio with us, Graham Rintoul. Actually, Graham comes back to us after about a year or so talking about his experience with Rachel's Vineyard Retreats, is in the Milwaukee area. Lawrence Johansson is a physician, and he lives in the Tualatin area, member of Resurrection Parish, and Deacon Mike Caldwell. And I see Deacon Mike over at St. Joseph the Worker Parish, and all of these men have been involved in abortion. We're going to hear their story in just a moment. Kevin, I want to say good morning to you and welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for you having this program and forum for men to speak about their abortion experiences.
Well, we thank you for saying yes and being willing to share a little bit. Give us a little perspective of Rachel's Vineyard Ministries and the mission that you and Teresa decided to really undergo in sharing the message of life.
Oh, sure. I'd be happy to do that. Teresa developed this weekend retreat healing program, oh, gosh, I guess 15 years ago at this point. And it was originally a support group, and then she put that into a weekend format. As the ministry began to grow, we realized we were being called to put together our gifts and our vocations and have them serve not only our family, but also serve this new ministry of post-abortion healing. And the retreats began to spread, and now they're on every continent. They're almost every state in the United States, and many states have multiple sites. And it's been very successful because I think people coming together to deal with this wound, sometimes you open it and you close it. The retreat format provides a powerful opportunity to gather with others who have experienced abortion, men and women, and to go through a very intense, a very, very healing and beautiful experience of the mercy and forgiveness of the Lord and His church. I think that's what's unique about the Rachel's Vineyard Retreat Weekend and of this ministry is the experience of Christ in word, in sacrament, and in the sacraments, especially the sacraments of Eucharist and reconciliation. And you experience those sacraments within a very therapeutic and healing and trauma-sensitive process that really can go to the heart of the complicated grief that follows abortion. It's very difficult to get to the roots of that wound, which causes many of the difficult and painful symptoms in people's lives. The retreat is very successful at getting to the heart of that. You gather as a suffering body of Christ with a retreat team, a priest is present, I just completed a retreat serving as a therapist in the Archdiocese of Newark this past weekend. It was their 50th Rachel's Vineyard retreat, and so it's very fresh to me, this powerful experience of seeing the transformation that occurs in people. It's kind of one of the exercises is actually Lazarus in the tomb. It's very beautiful, but the whole retreat itself is like that. You see people slowly in their own time and in various ways kind of coming back to life from the wreckage and the death that abortion has kind of left to them. So it's a beautiful experience of the Lord's mercy, of the forgiveness, the power of the church, the power of Christ. That's kind of the heart of our ministry.
You know, you have two beautiful words in the title of your ministry, Rachel's Vineyard, and I know they're scripturally based, and maybe you can offer just a little bit about those two words and the impact and the significance that they have in Scripture that ties to the hope and healing that you hope to offer through the retreats.
I'm sorry, what was that reference again?
The Rachel and the Vineyard in the title comes from sacred Scripture.
Well, Rachel, you know, is the Old Testament reference of Rachel mourning her children. And so there's that sense of there's this deep grief that's not being acknowledged that needs healing. Vineyard comes from when Teresa was discerning a therapeutic response to this. She was seeing that this was a problem. In fact, when she first got involved with this, it was she was working with eating disordered patients. And in a group she was working with, a majority of the participants in this group for bulimics and anorexics had abortion in their history, and it was either a contributing or a causative factor in their symptoms. And so she wanted to respond to this, but as she was developing a response to it, she realized, and through prayer, that if this response to this problem was not rooted in Jesus Christ and his power, along with the therapeutic techniques, that it would not be able to fully cleanse and heal that wound. And so the scripture that she was led to was John's gospel and the vine and the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And she really then, through that inspiration, made Jesus, through the living scripture exercises, the sacraments of the church, Jesus is central to the healing process.
Amen to that. Kevin Burke with us by phone, and we have three other men here in studio on in person this morning. I'm Dina Marie. This is KBVM Portland. And I want to invite Deacon Mike Caldwell to share with us first a little bit about your experience, Deacon, and tell us, I guess, first of all, and Kevin, I'm going to have you respond a little bit later, listening to Deacon Mike Caldwell, and I know you've met him over the years in some of the retreats that you've offered. But Deacon Mike, how did you learn about Rachel's Vineyard retreats, and what made you decide to be as a participant?
Well, as 35 years ago, before I was married, my girlfriend was baptized before I was married, and then said don't worry about it. And I didn't say a word. It's pretty typical of them. Issues. Take care of it. I'm on off. Years ago. The problems I've had over the years, I never really tied it back to that experience. Until I was in the formation for the diaconate, and then I was looking deeper into my soul for formation, looking for the Holy Spirit to help me to be whole as spiritually. I went to my pastor, and said, "You need Rachel's Vineyard."
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I heard about it, and weekend retreat.
Right. So Deacon Mike, for you, really, years past, you had this guilt. This way somewhere where you didn't really want to look at it. And I want to ask Kevin, men can hold on to the secret. They probably don't tell anybody for years and years and years before something happens and they decide, I've got to face this fact.
That's extremely common. A percentage of the post-abortive male population. It's there. It's often buried deeply. There's a deeply of disconnection, really, of how that wound is impacting their life. Sometimes there's a complete disconnection between the fact that they're experiencing problems in their relationships, maybe pornography issues, perhaps anger issues at work. There's a host of symptoms, but oftentimes they're not connected to that abortion loss. Or there may be some sense of the shame, a guilt of that past event, but there's a desire to bury that, to not kind of go near it. So it's not unusual for many, many years to pass, and something comes up in their life where it calls attention to that loss.
Right. Deacon Mike, once you decided, okay, I'm going to go take my pastor's advice, which is a very good thing to do, and we're going to attend this Rachel's Vineyard retreat. I'm going to attend this Rachel's Vineyard retreat. What happened to you as you look back in the process, in your heart, in your soul, as you started to go through the experience of the retreat?
The process, the weekend retreat process, takes you through baby steps, step by step, and you have to recognize first off that you had a loss and you need healing. And it took me almost a whole weekend to even come to that point. At one point in the beginning of the retreat weekend, they give you a rock to hold and says, well, when are you going to get rid of this rock? You're holding this weight and you're on your heart. When are you going to put it down? I couldn't put it down the whole weekend. And so I was really reluctant to even look at the issue. But through the process of the retreat weekend, it took me through and gradually, painfully realizing that my daughter is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that it really didn't hit me until that weekend. I mean, before this time, a lot of times it's very textbook and you think, well, yeah, abortion's life. And it's really textbook. But until you bring it to your heart and you realize that was my child. And then it hits you hard, and it was a very painful experience. So.
How did you feel with the other participants, the retreat leaders? Did you have that sense of support and, okay, I can move forward? How did you feel in terms of those around you who could help affirm what you were feeling? Because at some point you might have realized, I'm not alone. There are other people who actually have felt the same things that I have.
Now being part of the retreat team myself, I'm going to realize more about the process, but they're very supportive, and they pay very close attention to you as you going through this process in the weekend, and they pull you in at the right times, and they're directing in the right directions. And then, yes, and you're surrounded by, and I did have Graham with me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one more man on the retreat weekend, and then many women on the retreat weekend, and then realize that we're all together. But for a man to be on the weekend, men and women look at to us because they have not experienced that with other men acknowledging this and come to terms with this. And when they see a man on the weekend, it helps them quite a bit. But it also, for the man, we also grow in that experience because we're seeing what we're doing for them, and then we realize our own roles. And so when we realize the man and woman both have a role in the process and we come together on it, it's very supportive for the whole team that's on that weekend retreat.
Yeah. Deacon Mike Caldwell, one of our guests here on In Person this morning. Kevin, as you hear Deacon Mike Caldwell's response, and I think a little bit about men and women coming to this retreat, I think typically when we hear about a healing retreat, we might just tend to look at, well, this is kind of a women's retreat, but this is for both men and women. As you've participated in these retreats, what do you see the dynamics between men and women? Who are the participants? How are their symptoms? Are they different? Are they the same? Are they experiencing similar results? You're talking about eating disorders, stresses, different kinds of trauma that they have experienced over their life that they're bringing to you. Can you talk a little bit about the difference between what men and women experience when they go through this retreat as you've observed it?
Actually, I would say there's probably a lot more similarities in the sense that for both men and women, it's coming to terms, and Deacon Mike spoke very powerfully about this. It's coming to terms with the fact that you're a father. You know, you're not a post-abortive man as much as you're a post-abortive dad. You're a post-abortive mother. And it's connecting with that father's heart or that mother's heart. That is very painful, but if this is a paradox, but it's a beautiful pain in the sense that it leads to repentance. It leads to healing. It leads to a reconnection in love with that child. And all the symptoms that people experience in their lives is, again, that disconnection from this, from the heart of the wound, which is the loss of the child. So there may be differences in how men express their depression. Perhaps they're going to express that more in terms of anger in their relationships. Maybe men are better at, you know, really stuffing that pain and still functioning pretty well in their work lives. And maybe they tend toward workaholism. And I think some of the other men can probably speak much better to that than myself. So I'll kind of ask them to do that when it's their turn. Maybe look at that in their own lives. But there's more in common, I think, as they journey together. And as Deacon Mike also pointed out, it's powerful for women to see a man expressing grief for his child, because they often have been so wounded by men in their lives. They haven't had often had the opportunity to see the post-abortive father expressing grief. So I think that's another healing element of the abortion loss for them.
That's right. Kevin Burke with us, as well as our men's panel here in person in studio. I want to invite Lawrence Johansson to share a little bit, a family practice physician and in the Tualatin area. Tell us a little bit about your story, a little bit about how you learned about Rachel's Vineyard Retreat, and what led you to decide that this is something that you wanted to, needed to participate in from your own experience.
Well, I heard about it through my wife, and she had some issues she wanted to go to this retreat for, and asked me if I wanted to go. And I thought, well, I haven't directly been involved like Deacon Mike was in an abortive process. But then I got thinking about when I was in residency, this young lady who was maybe 20 years old with a 2-year-old already married, and she comes in and she's pregnant. She's distraught because they have no money. And my feeling was that the husband was a bit overbearing, and may have been a difficult man to live with. And she was just felt very trapped. And so I said, well, you know, no one's going to blame you if you have an abortion, if you wanted to, you know, solve your problem in that way. And, you know, she was, I think, looking for some sort of, seconding of what she was thinking about. So she went and had it. And when she came back, she was just distraught, devastated. Really hit me hard that I had, you know, participated in this agony that she was going through. And, you know, sometimes as physicians, we forget how much influence we have on people and the choices they make about their health and their lives. And so I thought, well, that is a reason for me to go to this retreat. And, you know, I said, well, I'm probably not as affected as some of these people might be, but I'll go ahead. And I carried the rock, but I also tried to be engaged as much as possible. And it was a very powerful Holy Spirit weekend. And you could just feel palpably the Holy Spirit, especially that first evening where they go through the forgiveness. You know, we put ourselves in the adulterous woman's place in the story, and go through all that and then the forgiveness. And I was very relieved when it was over, because I really felt I had gotten something out of my life that I didn't realize was bothering me.
I think that's something that we don't always think about, is the physician's role in our health and well-being. And we look to these physicians, we look to the care providers to say how we're to take care of ourselves. And we look to that as a credible source. And so when you request or you recommend death, assisted suicide, we could go down the list of different things in this country that we have legalized, that we've made okay, but in ending life, there is no solution in that as being a decision. What would your thoughts be, Lawrence, now to other physicians who may be in a similar situation where maybe they're getting a patient who's asking about this complicated situation? And how can you better form, or how have you been able to better form your conscience to be able to promote the gift of life as you're talking with your patients and talking about their best interest in their health and well-being?
Just
being cognizant of the massive influence that we can have on someone's decision in that regard. I don't want to put us in the same level as a priest, but it's, you know, I mean, you have a complete stranger. You say, okay, take off your clothes and I'm going to check you out. And they do that without, like, a lot of squawking. You know, it's that sort of thing,
right,
that people are, you know, coming to you for. And so just realizing that it's not just a short-term solution. You got to be thinking beyond a recommendation. How is this going to affect their overall life? In my medical school, it was a Christian-based medical school. So in addition to the physical and mental well-being, they also taught us about, you know, the spiritual well-being, how to be connected with that, with our patients.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, for you, with Rachel's Vineyard Retreats, how common is it for physicians, for people, maybe not the father or the mother, but think about those who are pressuring women to have abortions? It might be a parent. It might be a best friend. It might be somebody that is advising them to go to this abortion. What about those people? Those people? Do they come to a Rachel's Vineyard Retreat?
I think this phrase is a very important point charism of our ministry is that to look at those who have participated in the death of an unborn child, nurses, counselors, brothers and sisters, the woman drives, the person who drives, countless people that I've journeyed with on retreats or who I've talked to, who are, when they realize that they were a direct participant they come to the retreat, nurses, brothers and sisters, or have actually directly participated in abortions, therapists who advise, as the doctor shared, who advised a woman to have an abortion. There are many folks and women, even folks, even men, the population, men, off a dozen relation, off thousand relation, off his patient, the real, and off a dozen, off a population, off population, off top men, as would be possible to put it into the same way in their lives. And for those who recognize that, you know, wow, you know, I was involved in that, in the loss of that child, they're very appropriate to journey through the retreat weekend and to heal of.
For folks who are listening today, I want to direct lots of information talking about today, the 2010 retreats that are offered throughout the country and literally all over the world are posted there, as well as a lot of detailed information. So you can start by going start. There is a toll free number people can call. Free number people can call 1-877. Ask the folks like Kevin about Rachel's Vineyard and about their participation in your local area. They will be happy to direct you to more information. I want to let folks know that in our local area down in Medford, they will be offering a retreat in April, the 16th through the 18th, and then here in Portland in the month of June, and there are retreats going on all over the country as well. So please contact your local area. Here it's Charities that facilitates our Rachel's Vineyard Retreat, but there are many different organizations that really embrace the retreat ministry and an opportunity to have that hope and healing. Graham, you've been on the program before talking about your experience, but I'd love for you to share a little bit. You were able to embrace a Rachel's Vineyard retreat back in 2007, but tell us a little bit about what led you to that point of taking the step forward in healing in your own life, in your own abortion experience.
I think the biggest step for me, and I think of the parable of the lost sheep, and I'd been away from, and I'm a Protestant, for the audience to know, I'd been away from any form of religious worship at all for probably 25 years. And I had really no intent of going back to church. And things began to happen. And from June 06, a series of things occurred, one of which I think was just fantastic, was my stopping my abuse of red wine. And did so cold turkey. Basically, July 5th for me is what I call now non-dependence day. And following that, there was a number of things that basically involved prayer and ultimately confession, in the sense of not the sacrament of, but just acknowledging and recognizing sin and bringing it forward. And with all of that, in April of 07, I basically had an emotional crash and began looking into methods and programs for healing. The first one I stumbled across actually was not Rachel's Vineyard. It was another program offered to men only, and was not going to come around probably for another year. They'd like to start the program with six participants and had nobody on the waiting list. So I think I was number one on the list and kept on searching and found the contacts for Rachel's Vineyard. And that was June of 06. And finally, in November, a retreat came here in Portland, and that's where I went, Mike, and in fact, I met Lawrence over the space of that same weekend. And going into the retreat, I had three concerns. One, everybody's going to be Catholic. Second, they're all going to be women. Mm-hmm. And lastly, they're going to hate me. Mm. Turns out, none of the above. We weren't all Catholic. There was two of us that were Protestants. They weren't all women. There was Mike and I, and I think another man was on that one, along with a priest in training to become a staff member who went through all the same process that we did. And nobody was upset with me, except me. So, as Mike said, going through that weekend, the real interesting process is that rock and your burden. And I kept mine until Saturday night. And Father Michael, who was there, noticed during my equivalent of a sit-down confession, which is offered for all people who attend, not just Catholics, but all the Protestants and everyone else. And we had a wonderful chat. And he said, "So, when are you going to get rid of that rock?" I said, "Well, I have some scripture research I'm doing right now in between Saturday night and Sunday morning. And I have to just kind of understand a little bit about pride and how it's affected me." And he said, "I have a scripture for you." And he added me one to go read. And it was a pivotal point that I might not have found on my own. But so I thank him regularly that he took me to that point to enable me to get through the rest of the process, giving up that burden and going forth. In the process of the remainder of that retreat, I realized I need to be part of this. I need to be part of this process for the other guys out there. Not to slight the women by any means, but the women seem to be smarter in knowing they have this problem, they have the emotional need, they have the grief. And they, when you look at the demographic of men and women in a retreat, there's maybe two or three, possibly four guys against 10, 12 women. I marvel at the fact that we are making some inroads in getting the men to come up, but it's not easy. It's not easy, and that's why we wanted to do this panel of all of us guys here to help get that message out.
Graham, Kevin's mentioned a couple of times the two words complicated grief, and maybe if you can reflect in your own experience, but maybe the experiences of other men that you've had an opportunity to share with, to listen from, what kinds of complicated grief have you experienced because of your participation in abortion, and other men who are willing to share the burdens that they've held for maybe, like Deacon Mike, over almost 30 years of holding in that grief, and you for yourself have held in that grief for quite a few years before the retreat.
Right. My abortion took place, and I believe, April of 75. Mm. I've since learned through the retreat process and some of the reading that there's a concept called anniversary issues. And my partner and I stayed together after the abortion for about 2 years until April of 07, that would, or 77. I also found a couple of other things that tied back to April, like my emotional crash in April of 07.
Yeah.
So that's one of the complications running around. Another big one, which is related to grief in general, and Kevin could probably speak more directly, but the denial that anything serious took place in having, and I call it a we problem, if we are pregnant, then we had an abortion, is acknowledging the fact for men to do that. It's our primary job as a father is to protect our wives and family, and we didn't do that.
Yeah.
So that is something we internalize. We don't run around saying, "Hey, I had an abortion." No way. We don't ask for directions, so we're certainly not going to own up to something like the magnitude of an abortion.
Yeah.
And then what do we do with it? Well, we internalize it, and that list of post-traumatic stress symptoms goes on and on. But alcoholism, workaholism, pornography, gambling, lots of addictive and damaging activities, and then physical things, eating disorders, drinking disorders, list goes on. So it's not just the grief. It's all the things that the grief ties into. And until you can manage and handle that grief, which is not simple, I'm nowhere near finished, even though it's been going on 2.5 years.
Right.
But until you can get beyond that, you can't effectively go through the grieving process. And that's what Rachel's does. It puts you in a space that's safe.
Mm-hmm.
In order to allow that, and you're with other people who have a shared set of feelings and emotions and even stories. I've met probably a dozen men in several retreat environments now, and looking at their similar histories to when and how long it took for that, I want to call it germinate, that grief that's inside that's got to go someplace, and finally it does. But it seems for us guys it takes a lot longer for that to hit. But once it hit, it's going to hit big. So the complexity is that, as I mentioned, in our culture, we don't grieve effectively. We're not allowed to. We're trained not to. And then when we finally get to that spot, we don't know how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. We have our men's panel here talking about Rachel's Vineyard Retreats. The website about Rachel's Vineyard is simply rachelsvineyard.org. You're our guest here on In Person. Kevin Burke joining us by phone. He and his wife are co-founders of Rachel's Vineyard Ministries. And Kevin, as you're hearing these stories, here in our country since 1973, the legalization of abortion, and we recognize 51 million lives who have been killed due to abortion since that time. So that's 51 million mothers and fathers. So potentially millions and millions of men are holding this pain, this choice, this contributing to death in their hearts. Tell us a little bit about what you've seen the men who have shared their hearts, and maybe from your book, Redeeming a Father's Heart, because there have been men who have come out to tell their stories like these men today. What's coming up for them?
Well, I think one of the groups of men that we can focus a bit on, because I think they're most vulnerable to immediate post-abortive reactions and even to death, is those men who are powerless to stop an abortion that they don't want. They're in touch at some level, maybe in a very direct way, that this is my son or daughter, and you know, they understand as a father that they need to try to protect this child, regardless of the circumstances of the relationship. And when that abortion occurs and they're powerless to stop that death, as one can imagine, it's a very traumatic experience. I mean, abortion is a traumatic experience in any case. But in these cases, there's such a direct connection. They're plugged into that loss in a powerful way. But yet, as men, when we are powerless in that kind of a situation, you're going to find tremendous rage, anger, and depression. You know, and where are they going to go with that anger, depression? Most men don't know where to turn in that situation. So we need to have, you know, immediate help available for men, any men listening to this program, or if you know any men who are involved in such an abortion decision. You know, they need to make sure they are getting help right away. So I've journeyed with a young man who had that experience of abortion loss. He was involved in a long-term relationship with a woman that he loved. She already had a child. This story is in Redeeming a Father's Heart. And he did not want the abortion, but he was he did not want to lose the relationship, so he took her to the abortion center and paid for the procedure, and he was in the parking lot of the abortion business, and he realized to himself that my son or daughter is about to die. And, you know, that just hit him as a father. His father's heart was on alarm mode, you know. So he went into the abortion business, opened a door, found the procedure room, and what he found was his partner was on the table. The female doctor turned to him and said, don't worry, everything's okay. We're all finished. Everything went beautifully. And he saw his partner with tears beginning to come down her face, and he was filled with anger and rage, and he left the business. Predictably, the relationship ended soon after, but he spent the next 4 months You know, in the evening, he would just lay awake in his bed and go over and over again this horrible, traumatic nightmare image. He would dream about it. He was able to work during the day, amazingly, because he had kind of a working class job, so he was able to turn his head off during the day and work. But at night, he would be haunted by this experience. And thank God, he sat in the back of a church and saw the information on Rachel's Vineyard, even though he felt like, you know, God was going to strike him with lightning any minute. A lot of people feel that way after abortion, that God's just waiting to judge them or make something bad happen because they deserve to be punished. You know, that unresolved shame and guilt is there. But thank God he called the retreat, and I met him 4 months after that on the retreat. And you know, when I saw him for the first time, he said to me, he said, "Mr. Burke, if this retreat doesn't help me, I'm afraid of what I'm going to do." Mm. And so I just said a very quiet prayer to the Holy Spirit. I told him, as the deacon shared, you know, some men, they need to journey for a while through this weekend process because it's so deeply buried, and because men are so good at doing that, you know. And maybe a lot of men don't have that experience of being able to access difficult emotions. And when they get near them, if they feel kind of out of control, it's very scary if you've never done that work before. That's understandable. But, you know, the retreat's beautiful in that in his time, over the process, he slowly began to thaw. And by Sunday, I saw a real transformation in him. He still needed to do more healing work in his life, but he's not in danger of taking his life. He's not in danger of abusing his next girlfriend. I think that's so important with that population.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's an example, again, where it's where they were powerless. So, you know, that's an acute situation. We want to get immediate help to them. But every father's heart who has participated in the death of his child, you know, he is deeply wounded. There's grief and there's shame, and that's going to manifest itself in ways in his life, and particularly in his relationships and in his vocations. I think in terms of our work in evangelization, we have to realize as a church that, you know, calling these men to healing, we're also calling them to reclaim fully their fatherhood and their spiritual fatherhood, their leadership in the family, their leadership in the church, and their leadership to transform the culture of death into the culture of life. Post-abortive men are a very important part, and women as well, of course, are a very important part in their healing experience to be able to speak the truth about abortion and, again, bring about that transformation in their own hearts and in their relationships, in their marriages, in their families. So we can get away from the horror that abortion is unleashing upon not only our unborn children, but upon our marriages and our families.
Exactly. Our guest, Kevin Burke, along with our men's panel on Rachel's Vineyard Ministries. Again, the website, rachelsvineyard.org. We've got a local representative, Lori Eckstein, who is tremendous, and she's got a story of her own, but she has been very impactful here in the state of Oregon for men and women to attend Rachel's Vineyard retreats and coordinating with so many different people. I know she's been a blessing in lives and lives and lives. Deacon Mike, I want to ask you first and then the other men as well. Since you've gone through the retreat at Rachel's Vineyard and had that time to process that grief, what has changed for you in your life today? As you look back a little bit and start to reflect, well, what kinds of things are changing and how you may be able to better speak out about life issues with the folks that you influence? And you have the opportunity to influence a whole parish as serving as a parish deacon. But how has your life changed since the retreat?
Well, as I said before, taking that the issue of life from an academic standpoint to your heart, it gives you a whole new perspective in how you talk about life issues, because it should not be textbook or even as quoting scripture. Sometimes it can't be helpful. You have to really, if you just do it from the head, and you're not going to be an impact on the people you talk to in their heart. And so that's what my relationship with Jesus has grown tremendously. And like, as I said, I had this spiritual wound. It was holding me back. And it was through this process of formation that I was able to get through that. And now I can speak from the heart about life issues. And that's where you have to talk to. You got to talk to people from your heart. And so that's what I do. I talk to many different groups, and I talked to men at NYSA Columbus, and I, I want to talk to the men, but I also talk to other people about life issues. I've talked to students at Central Catholic High School. And so I want to get the word out, and I want to, from my own heart, I don't want people to just, I don't want to just quote scripture, although it's important, but I want them to know that it's real. Your relationship with Jesus and God, it's real, and it's not something that you should just take lightly.
Yeah. Well, and Deacon Mike, you've been able to put together some pamphlets, some information from the Chronicles of the Life Begun in the Womb to How Men Fit into the Equation on Abortion, and then Virtue by Virtue, A Catholic Men's View on Life. So you put together some materials that could be really helpful doing a presentation at a school, at a parish, and just a group of folks who want to learn a little bit more. How have you been able to use these tools to kind of get the word out and maybe do some evangelization, but maybe that's the one link. Somebody sees a pamphlet at the back of a church and it just opens the door that maybe there is healing for me.
Yes, I'm always looking for invites to different parishes. And I think that if you look at even RCIA programs and confirmation programs, I know that when I was baptized in 82, I went through an RCIA program. And I don't really recall ever being talked about life issues. And I think that really would have helped me at that time to even come sooner to realization of my loss. But life is not talked about in these programs very much. And so I'm looking for advice. And when I do talk, to RCIA programs or confirmation or Knights of Columbus groups, I don't necessarily talk about it just from a man's standpoint. I talk from a gospel of life standpoint. But I always bring in that element of the men's issues because I know that men don't always see it as their issues. So I just want to bring it. I want everyone to know about life issues. But then I want especially the men to know that it's not just a woman's issue. And just saying that to men sometimes makes them realize that.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, yeah, you're right. I was a father.
Yeah, yeah. Lawrence, for you as a family practice physician, how have things changed for you in your professional life as a physician and maybe that relationship with the patients, but also in your own family life, your marriage, your life? I know you're a new Catholic convert as of 2004. So have there been some changes that you can see since the retreat and since having that time to really experience healing in your own personal grief?
Well, I don't have an active practice now in where I see patients on a regular basis. But what I do is when the subject comes up, I try to echo what Deacon Mike said, in that it's the love of Christ and the redemptive redemption that he offers, rather than feeling guilty and condemned. And having been in that retreat, I certainly had a different perspective of what a woman goes through when she chooses to go down that path and the different stories. And I know that my involvement in the late 80s with the abortion, 10 years later or roughly, another young couple came to me, just recently married, unexpectedly pregnant. What do you think, doctor? We're thinking of getting an abortion. And I was able to say, you will regret it if you go through with that. And it was a little 10-year-old, beautiful little girl. Now, as a result, I like to think that, I talked him out of it, but that's sort of where I've come with in my journey. I mean, we're all continuing on in that journey,
right?
Forever. So,
yeah, it is a journey of life, a journey with Christ. Graham, for you, now you've become involved in a leadership position in terms of being a team member, and maybe explain for you what a team member is as you've gone through and participated in a Rachel's Vineyard retreat. But some people are recalled to say, I'd like to go back and be part of a team to help others who were kind of in my similar situation. How has that evolved for you since participating and now helping lead some of these retreats?
Well, I'm still working on what I call being in the room during the actual retreat with the team members and the retreatants. My primary roles have been in just getting the facility set up. We begin that early on a Friday afternoon, whereas the retreat itself doesn't start until 5:30 Friday. Then it runs until late Sunday, and then we do the takedown. And in between, we've got a kitchen staff because it's a sleepover, eat over, stay there all weekend. So I've done a lot of background roles and have have wondered, how can I best fit into what I'm being called to? And those roles are good for me. I enjoy doing that kind of thing, and I've turned out to be good with paperwork over my life, so I do that. And what I find very curious is I'm drawn to what we're doing right now, is to speaking out to people. This is my second radio time. I've had two television interviews. I had a letter printed in National Catholic Register back in November from the man's point of view, which I find interesting being that I'm not a Catholic, but I printed it anyway. We've got a couple of more plans in works for another TV and for an in-person presentation at the upcoming conference in April. So for me, it's the speaking out turned out to be my way forward. Not that I plan on not being part of the weekends and working towards an in-the-room staff member, but knowing that what we do behind the scenes oils the machine so that the people in the room can concentrate on the other people in the room. They don't have to worry, is dinner going to be ready? Is there going to be snacks? Is there going to be enough cold beverages? None of that. We're doing that outside. And it's a big operation. There's about 15 team members. But above and beyond that, there's probably a couple of dozen volunteers who just come to do whatever's necessary behind the scenes that make that whole thing run. And I'm sure the other sites around the country and around the world are doing the same thing. But as you mentioned, Lori's got a very tight rein on what happens. He's definitely in charge and has welcomed a good quantity of people into our group, and is training them to be an effective member at any level in the process. And I don't know if Mike remembers, but at our retreat, Lori contracted laryngitis. Mm. She ran the retreat on post-it notes because the other team members were able to step in and do what was necessary. So I thought, man, this is working. This is really a cohesive environment. And it only gets that way by practice. And I understand that Oregon has done 30 retreats now.
Yeah.
And even at a round number of 10 or 12 bodies per retreatants, we're looking at 300 plus people that have been served just in Oregon.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Kevin, as you hear this response and you hear about the team and the people who participate after they've experienced this Rachel's Vineyard ministry and this retreat, what is the hope going into the rest of our lives, this journey? What are you hearing from men and women who are taking what they've experienced through Rachel's Vineyard and then living it out in their daily lives as parents, as husbands and wives, as teachers, as deacons? How are they living their life after the retreat?
Well, that's what's so beautiful about this ministry. It's continually fires me up in my own work, is people discovering in a deeper way their vocations within the church as they are called by Christ to use their unique gifts, again, to build the culture of life in various ways. And so many stories I've heard of people being able to go home and embrace their children. I've heard so many mothers talk about after the retreat being able to hold their baby that they have now, or their child, and just feel that their hearts have been opened up to fully love, you know? Gosh, there's nothing more rewarding to hear that, you know? Because I know as a social worker, I was a family and marriage counselor for many years before getting involved in Rachel's Vineyard. I know how these wounds impact family life on a fundamental level. And of course, our church is always teaching how important it is that the family is a place of peace and security and of faith, and it's the school, it's the school of faith, it's the domestic church. And so I think, I refer back to that sense of the new evangelization. I think post-abortion healing is a very important and integral part of this new evangelization, the healing of these men and women, of their mother and father's hearts. And also, I have to say very quickly, we also have to keep in mind those married to post-abortive persons are in post-abortive relationships. They also travel together through Rachel's Vineyard often. The spouse will accompany the post-abortive mother or father and be there as a support, and on Sunday have the opportunity to adopt that child and welcome them into the family. This can also be very healing as well.
It's beautiful. Well, I want to encourage people to get a hold of the book by Kevin Burke and the co-authors, Redeeming a Father's Heart. Very powerful stories written by men from their own personal experience. Kevin, as we come to a close, we're going to have you back on the program in the future. We just so are grateful for you and your wife and the many, many men and women who have embraced the ministry. But what can we do this next step? And I think about the 40 Days for Life campaign coming up. Our Lenten season is coming up, a real powerful time of prayer, fasting, and awareness of the life issues in our own culture right now. What are some suggestions, helpful suggestions, that you might just offer our listeners to take to heart about abortion, about the loss, about the grief, but the hope that is there through our faith?
Just, again, just coming off that Rachel's Vineyard retreat, I'm struck very powerfully by two things. One is that this is such a diabolical evil. Not only the effects on the unborn, and we've seen the images of what abortion does to the unborn, a very disturbing but necessary reality. We need to come face to face with that, and we need to work to end this. On the other hand, I saw in the lives of these people the wreckage that abortion, in a sense, the graphic image of what abortion has done to their hearts and souls and relationships. And so that reality is very powerful. This needs to stop. We need to stop. All our efforts to stop this are so important. At the same time, I was seeing the church so beautifully manifest, the body of Christ, the sacraments, the Word of God, you know, the priests, the counselors, the lay people, all these wonderful people praying in adoration through the whole retreat, working together to say that death is not the last word. As Father Frank Pavone says, the pastoral director of Rachel's Vineyard Ministries, he says, you know, we work from victory. So we work with a sense of confidence and hopefulness that Christ has conquered death. He's conquered Satan. He's conquered evil. We're now living out the manifestation of that victory. And if we feel discouraged at times, all I can tell you is I am seeing, and all these men have seen, God work so powerfully in their lives. And that's just a foreshadowing what God is going to do in our nation and ultimately in His time throughout the entire world.
Amen. Amen to that. Kevin Burke, we thank you so much for your time, and your wife, Teresa, and the whole crew at Rachel's Vineyard, all the prayer warriors. So those are kind of the unspoken, behind-the-scenes warriors. There are men and women that are praying for life. They're praying for Rachel's Vineyard retreatants every single day. And so we want to continue to pray for those prayer warriors, for their strength, for the priests who participate, for Father Frank and all of his enthusiasm in leading you in a very spiritual way. So continue to do good things. We hope to get you back here very soon.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and I am so thankful to these courageous men. It's a sign of their healing that they're willing to step out and talk about their experience of abortion. They are the ones that are going to call men to healing, so I just affirm them, God bless them, and I thank them from the bottom of my heart for them being present here today.
Amen. Well, I want to close this time with Graham and with Lawrence and with Deacon Mike with prayer. And since we do have Deacon Mike in the house with us this morning, again, thank you, gentlemen, for coming. Graham, for organizing this and to bringing these men together. And again, this isn't the last time that we're going to gather together, but we're going to continue to have panels like this at KBVM so we can continue to bring these voices, these hearts to our listeners, and that we can continue to make a change for life. Deacon Mike, would you help us close with prayer and, of course, your deacon's blessing over our listeners?
Yes, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you are the author of life, and we thank you for that gift. And give us the strength, the wisdom, and the power of the Holy Spirit to be stewards of the gift that you've given us over all creation. And we want to give a special blessing to all parents, that they, whether their child is born, is alive or not, that they will always hold their child in their heart. And then any parents that lost a child, they will have healing for your glory, Lord. And may God bless us all. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. God be with you all. Great to have you all here on the program, on in person. Again, Graham, Lawrence, and Deacon Mike, God bless you. Keep doing good work. And if you've been listening this hour and something has touched your heart, I encourage you, you can contact Deacon Mike at St. Joseph the Worker Parish right there in Southeast Portland. You can give us a call. Rachelsvineyard.org is the national website. Graham is got emails going out to folks at Rachel's Vineyard all over the place. So if you want to email, you can send us an email at info@kbvm.fm, and I'll get the information out
out to this panel because they'd love to hear from you, answer some questions, and take you to the next step. And if you simply want to call Lori, she's one of the most wonderful people to call and to ask questions. Her number is 1-800-249-8074. And if you live here in the state of Oregon or even in the state of Washington and you want to learn more, give Lori a call and she can help you locally find, take the next step, but also contact Rachel's Vineyard and get more information. It's been a blessing for me to be here to share this message of hope and of healing, because there truly is hope and healing through the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll go on out there and continue to pray, proclaim that good news on the station at KBVM Portland. Just for today, as we close, I will remember this from the book of Psalms. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart. God seeks to fill hearts with his love, and that is the truth. God be with you today and always. This is In Person.